1 Corinthians 12 says, verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So what that tells me is that you are here not because you think you ought to be here, because God thinks you ought to be here. That's why you're here. Okay, that's a free sermon. You can just get around. Okay. Put my crew up there if you could. This is my clan. This is my group. I shared this morning in Bible class. Some of you know Jeremy. Jeremy grew up here. He's married to my daughter Clarice. In the back is Micah, Jeremiah, my wife Pam, Giselle, and Christopher. The little guy on the side, he's the ruler. That is Cassius. Cassius is Christopher and Giselle's son. He's 18 months old now. And of course, Grandpa, I'm called Big Daddy. Big Daddy spoils him rotten. He's my man. So I am so thankful that that's a part of my group, and they are just a blessing to me. And again, Dion was a part of that a lot. He's a special young man. Well, he can old too, so I can't say he's young. He got gray hair. But anyway, go to the next slide if you would. This is our congregation on a bad Sunday because you see them in empty chairs. But that's our crew. If you look there, we have some ethnicity running through that crowd as well. And those are the peeps back in South County. Great group. I got there, like, say, 11 years ago. There was about 35 members. We're up to about 70 now. And so God has blessed us in the community. I got there when they had the flood came through Rhode Island. And disaster relief sent me two tractor and trailer loads full of stuff. We hit the ground before FEMA got there. So to this day, when you ask someone about the South County Church of Christ, oh yeah, you're the guys with the flood. So I said, yeah, the second flood, not the first flood. So, okay. But let me, I give honor to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to your spiritual leaders here who allowed me to come and share with you this. You can go to the second slide now, that slide there, and share with you things that I find very significant and important today. You had in your hearing what is known as a Shema. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God told the Israelites what they must do. I believe I can have the authority to say where he says, Hear, O Israel. I can say, Hear, O Lawson Road. Hear this. And this is recorded again in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. It's only on one occasion, though, where it is not from the lips of Jesus that we hear, well, what should I do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I'll get to that in a moment. I'm big on words. I was telling John that I told my kids, look, you must think. Whatever you do, think. So when they come home with the story, I would ask them, were you thinking when you did that? Because you must not have been thinking or you wouldn't have done that. So I like words. I like terminology. And we live in a society where we find ourselves in a moral crisis. Families are dividing. Crime statistics are on the rise. What we label petty crimes are way up. We have in our area Amazon bandits. An Amazon bandit is one, you get a package, if you don't have an eye out there watching it, it's gone. We no longer have honesty. John was telling me about his son, and he says when he pulls someone's over, people just lie to him. I wasn't speeding, sir. He was doing 95 miles an hour. I wasn't speeding. So the erosion of honesty has taken place. Jesus said it best. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Back home, we have a problem with suicides. Opioid addictions. It is terrible. I'm a part of a group that I go through and try to show people, be the gatekeepers to show you indicators. What are some of the triggers that will cause our young people to want to commit suicide? It's scary. It's frightening. I also find myself in a situation where, as Dion mentioned, I did some research. And Lawson Road, you guys are a unicorn. Well, you're a unicorn. Because there ain't many of like this around. Just letting you know, the churches are going back to being segregated. Martin Luther King, in the 60s, said this. Maybe you've heard this. He said, it's appearing or appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is the 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. That was in the 60s when he said that. But we find it again. And so I try my best to get us to realize that, yeah, we're a little different. That's all right. I like different. My wife would tell you, I don't want to have hamburger every night. It's good. I like a little variety. And so when we look at what we're doing, we need to ask ourselves, what's happening? What's going on? What is causing this? And I'm here to tell you that, listen to your newscasters. I know news is bleak sometimes. But you may hear the word evil, disgraceful, corrupt, harmful. But most likely, you will not hear the word sinful. Now, I didn't come to preach you a sermon of gloom and doom. I have a thing at South County. It's called an HGT. That means hallelujah, good time. Christians, we should be having a hallelujah, good time. I get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. Why is it that Christians can't have some fun? Why is it we can't step out and just enjoy life? That's all right. But for too long, we've said, you know, we got to be, you know, educated, and we must have this. Well, I get that, but Jesus had fun. The apostles had fun. And so we are finding ourselves not wanting to talk about sinful behavior because, why? That brings us down. That gets us upset. We get concerned. But guess what? I have four kids. And let me tell you something. They were not perfect. 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I got to get up and preach. I hear 6'3" state trooper at my door. Can I help you, sir? What's going on? I was asleep. I didn't do it. He said, do you have a Micah Campbell in your house? Yeah. I said, can I see him, please? Micah! Long story short, Micah had got on Facebook and threatened one of his friends he'll come blow up his house. The mother saw it, snapshot it, shot it to the state trooper. Came to my house, man. Internet got cut off real quick. But so I'm a tech. But stuff happens, does it not? And we have to be able to deal with that. And see, when we look at words, things change, don't they? We say a liar has an exaggeration problem. Help me, somebody. I'm preaching this morning. We say a person who is a thief is a shoplifter. Now, Peter, how do you pick up a shopping cart? I don't get that one. So, our society and its PC correctness has gotten us away from being true of what God told us to be. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. It's difficult. I will not stand here and tell you, oh, I got it down to a science, because I don't. But the B-I-B-L-E, that's something else to say about it. The book is Luke. The chapter is 10. And I want to start reading in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. He says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, What must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? Now, this is the only time that I can find in Scripture where Jesus is not going to say these words. This time, the expert of the law utters the words. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Well, I took that little phrase, do this and you will live, and said you will really live. Because Christ goes on in this narrative and tells him about the Good Samaritan. And so this book of text has become known as the Good Samaritan story, has become known as the Golden Rule, love your neighbor as yourself. But I want to back up a few scriptures. Because Jesus said something that was so profound that was found in the Shema. He said, in order to really have a real good life, love the Lord your God. Well, how do I do that? Well, he said, first of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart. The Greek word for this is cardia. We get an English word cardiac. And so the emotion, the part of us that we get very emotional about stuff. I am so excited when I see people getting emotional. It's okay to cry in public. It's okay to get upset in public. But don't do it too bad. Don't go to jail. But, yeah, it's okay. Jesus had much compassion on people, did he not? One of the greatest people in the Bible, known as David, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. David, you want to read about some emotional stuff? Read Psalms. Listen to David. But I have to admit, though, emotions alone can get us in trouble. When we get so emotional that we're not rational and we're not thinking correctly, then we get in trouble. The B-I-B-L-E says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. So that's why Christ said, and this smart man said, well, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. But then he said, with all your soul. I want you to think for a moment and ask yourself, when was the last time somebody came up to you and asked you, how's your soul doing today? How's your soul doing today? Hey, bro, it's okay. She cries, make noise. It's all right, man. You can't keep her quiet. It's all good. Me and kids get along great, man. I'm the biggest kid in South County. Trust me. I love my kids, man. Don't try to shut them up. Let them go. I'm loud. They'll hear me. They're fine. Let them have some fun, man. I do. I love my kids, bro. Can I do a kid thing real quick? Can I got a few minutes? Hey, all my kids. I got to do this. I'm having fun. Y'all started it. So, kids back there, I got a song for you. If you don't know it, I want all the parents to learn it. It's very easy. It's called I'm In Right, Out Right, Up Right, Down Right, Happy All the Time. I'm in right, out right, up right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and took away my sins, I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time. Now, here's the key. You guys know it? Some of you guys know it? Never heard it before? Now, it gets fun. This is how it goes. I'm in right, up right, up right, down right, happy all the time. I'm in right, up right, down right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and took away my sins, I'm in right, up right, down. Now, you got to do it fast. How fast are you? You're not that fast? All right. Okay, I'll get back to preaching now. I'm sorry. And I get distracted. I got ADD. Something goes on. All right. So he said, love the Lord with all your soul. Now, I want to tell you something. In the Greek, there's one verse where the words soul and life are used interchangeably. It's in Mark chapter 16. The verse is 24. The Bible says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life, the English says, but the Greek word there is suke, soul. So whoever wants to save their soul will lose it. Whoever wants to lose their life or soul will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul or life? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul or life? Here in this text, it's perfectly clear that Jesus said, your life is your soul, and your soul is your life. Do you love the Lord your God with all your soul? Check your checkbook. You see what you love most. Help me, somebody. God said, love the Lord your God with all your soul. But he said, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. He said, now I want you to love him with all your strength. And this word means your abilities, your talents, the energies that you have. I'm a firm believer. I teach all over the place that when you go, baptism back there, where's the baptism? It's on the, okay, I don't know. It could be under here. I mean, I've been, you know, almost stepping on one. But I almost went down. I believe when you go in the water to give a baptism, you come up with at least one talent. You got at least one. Some may have more than one. Praise God. Some of us only got one. What do we do with it? How are we using it? Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, did he not? Bible says he was about 5'2". I don't know. He was a short man's stature. Wasn't tall. Bible says that Zacchaeus knew that a crowd was coming, Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see the Lord. The B-I-B-L-E says he climbed a tree to see Jesus. My question for you, will you be a tree for Jesus? Will you allow people to climb up and down you sometimes? To shake a few leaves off? To maybe even crimple a limb? See, when you got talents for God, sometimes people get upset. Sometimes folk will abuse you. But God gave you that ability. God gave you that gift. God gave you that talent. You must use it for his glory, not yours. Amen. So sometimes you got to be a tree and let folk climb up and down you. Why? They want to see Jesus. And when you can do that, things change. So your strength. Oh, we get tired, don't we? We get exhausted, don't we? Work 99 hours a week. I'm exaggerating, but you know. You got 5 kids, Josh. Woo! Help me, somebody. And then Peter called. Hey, Josh, can you? Bro, I got 5 kids. You want me? Can't you call somebody else? But, bro, you are really gifted in this area. I need you. God needs you to go. That's using your strength. That's using all your strength for the one who loves you most. And then he says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. This is the intellect. As I mentioned earlier, I believe with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength that Christianity is a thinking man or woman's religion. You got to think to be a Christian. Now, I grew up in the South. I grew up in the hood. The Bible says when someone strikes you on one cheek, you turn the other. In my hood, you ain't giving one shot, dude. I ain't giving you two. What? Amen. You ain't gonna get two shots on me. But Jesus said, turn the other. What? No. No. It didn't sit with me. I'll be honest. I'm reading it. I'm good. That Greek word can't mean that, Peter. It's got to mean something else. No, he said, when someone strikes you on one, give them the other side too. Give them your coat. Like, what? Jesus, come on, you're killing me. You know, I like this coat, man. What? This, you know, what's, it matches. What's wrong with you? But you got to think. You got to apply. I mentioned that thing about context. You got to look and understand and work. And do some analyzation and spend some time. And sometimes the paradigm shift does come. You've been thinking for so long, this has to be this way. And Jesus said, oh, No. Got to rethink that thing. My one son, Micah, I keep picking on. Micah, Pam likes an orderly house. People come to visit us. She wants the house looking good, want to look nice. You know, she can't take all this mess and wreck and stuff, and gosh, she works me hard. So Micah is a mess. That boy is and his room was always a mess. And so we have fights. Micah, clean. We even one time helped him clean up the room. It lasted for 2 minutes. So one day, we had people coming over, and so I went over and I closed the door. Oh, I didn't see it no more. It was like a revelation. Ooh. I just simply closed the door. If he wanted to stay a mess, that's his job. I ain't got to see it. I had to rethink that thing. He and I are great buddies. We got long faith. Just close the door, Mike. I don't care. I rethought it. Instead of me fighting and arguing and trying to get him to clean the room, it just didn't work. Close the door. Oh, it was so great. But that's what God is saying to us, that we got to rethink. Now, did you notice something in this text? He said, A-L-L. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. Now, let me tell you something. Intellectually, we do get in trouble sometimes. As Professor Efreet Hardeman Peter was saying, we have become so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. You know, we get so that we're so smart and we're so intelligentsia that we have forgotten the weighty matters of the law. Huh? So don't let the intellect get you in trouble either. Don't become so smart that your mind gets you in trouble. My grandfather would say, your butt got in trouble with that one, son. That's what he would tell you. So when you look at what God said, and even on the lips of this Pharisee, when you look at Harmony Sunday, look at folks that you shop with or work with or play with. Sometimes you don't know what they're going through in life. You don't know the heartaches and ups and downs they may be suffering. You may not know the context of how they got to where they are. But can you love them with all their heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Now, I'm reminded of one brother. He wasn't much for stirring out. It wasn't his desire. While others helped to build the church, he was sitting by the fire. Had the same old habit day by day. He never seemed to tire. While others were loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, he was sitting by the fire. And when he died, as all must do, they said he went up higher. But if he's still doing what he always did, he's still sitting by the fire. Don't be caught sitting by the fire at the wrong time. Because God said, I sent someone for you. And he loved you with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, and with all his mind. He went to Calvary for you, hung on a cross for you, bled and died for you, so you and I can enjoy a hallelujah good time. And if we understand that, that's his invitation. That's his plea. That's his cry. That's what he wants us to embrace. And when we as a society of folk get together on this, maybe, just maybe, we'll get some things back in order. The Bible says the apostles turned the world upside down. I want to turn it right side up, looking towards him. If you're here today, and we can help you in any way possible, I know Peter and this great church will help you. If you're visiting and you want to know more about Christ, that can happen too. Don't leave her upset. You know, are we having food afterwards? So you're going to have fasting Monday and have food. Anyway. Food first. But if we can help you anyway, let's have a prayer and you'll come. Father God, I pray that the words that you've given me today have encouraged us and moved us. I pray I've said nothing to offend or to reflect upon the power of your word and from your instruction. I pray that we really, truly embrace what it means to love you without all, every day, 24/7, 365. Thank you for Lawson Road. Thank you for this great family. I pray your richest blessings upon them. If anyone needs to come, why don't they come right now, God? Come to you. While together we stand and sing. Let the church say, amen.